You're listening to a podcast from 702.
But let me welcome on the lines now the Health Minister, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi. Dr. Motsoaledi, good to talk to you. Hello.
Hello, Kolani. Hello. Good morning to the listeners.
No, thank you for your time, Minister. I just firstly want to refer to the cabinet discussions on this tragic life as a demanding situation. What is the sense within cabinet about this matter?
Well, Kolani, unfortunately, the cabinet discussed this matter on Wednesday. At the time when I was presenting to the portfolio committee and the select committee, so I did not attend a cabinet meeting where this matter was discussed on Wednesday.
Sure, but what you did on Wednesday is, as you say, you were in Parliament and a lot of issues came through there. And let me just talk about yourself, because one of the issues that came through was that you were blindsided by the former MEC for Health here in Gauteng, Tani Mahlangu, because you wanted information and you didn't get it. At what point did you want information from her?
No, they were talking about the fact that in October 2015, when this issue was being planned, Section 27 wrote to the DG of the Department of Health, threatening that they'll go to court about an issue of mental health in Gauteng. And then the DG wanted to know what it is, because at that time, nobody in the province have told us anything about a plan like this. So she wanted to know what actually it is. And she organized a meeting with the head of the department and Section 27 and South African Anxiety Group, which were part of that process, that complaint to her. And then they discussed the issue and they agreed on the facilitation of a plan. Now, when they said we're looking for information, is because after that plan was discussed, the chief director of mental health in the national department, Professor Freeman, it was then agreed that you work with Gauteng, get the plan from them, look at it, if it's acceptable, attend all their meetings and see what they were doing. And they never allowed him to do that, as is proved by the emails he has been sending to them to try and gather if there's any meeting, if they are going forward with the discussions, if they are planning anything. And they were just refusing to let him in. That's what it was referring to.
Sure. But essentially, the sense I'm getting from our listeners and others who are analyzing this is that there still is so much more that we need to hear about this tragedy. And among other things, it's actually the exact numbers of people who are involved here. People are saying over 100. I mean, these are human beings. We've got to get a precise number of how many people have died.
Yes. Which is what we are doing. Remember, Kolani, when the Umbas released this report, he said 94 plus, still counting, because he was aware that people were coming in drips and droughts. They were coming from families with information which he needs, because one of the biggest strategies of this, Kolani, is that there was no clear information as to who went to what NGO, because when people were released from Life is Demanding, that's why the Umbas person said it was completely chaotic, it was crazy, it was very rushed, and something that should not even have happened. The people were not being discharged to a particular NGO in a particular order. NGOs went there to collect people and take them home. And when many of the NGOs who did so had no trained health workers, did not know anything about health. So when people started dying, they just took them to various mortuaries, so that chain of who went where and under what conditions was not known. That's why it was so chaotic. That's why it was not even supposed to have happened in the first place.
Sure. And just again, talking about more information needing to come out of this.
You must also remember, Kolani, why it's so difficult. Part of the reason why the World Organization in 2002 came with the idea of deinstitutionalization is because globally, not only in South Africa, but it also happened in South Africa, mental health patients are sent to institutions for life, and quite a number of them cut ties with their families, or they just come and leave them there for life, and it's very difficult.
Sure, I hear that.
That's why it's so difficult.
But the issue here is that we need to dig a little deeper. And again, I'm going to ask you to tell me what you think about the suggestion by the DA that there be a judicial commission of inquiry. And part of the reason is, why would the Department of Health hand over patients to NGOs that had no professionals to do this job, that had no license? Was there corruption? Was there a money-making motive behind this?
Well, Kolani, the one of the recommendations, as far as I'm concerned, most of the proposals people are making are already in the recommendation. One of the recommendations is that police are investigating, forensic investigators are on, and it said when they finish, they must take this information over to the law enforcement agencies like NPA, which must decide whether there's any criminal intent here, whether there's anybody who must be charged criminally. It's the NPA that can decide so, because it is the prosecuting authority. But also other state agencies, like the Hawks, they must come in. If you are talking about corruption, we've got the Hawks and ICC, Special Investigating Unit, you've got the Public Protector. All those are institutions that must investigate corruption. So when the police are on this case, they'll refer to all those institutions. And obviously, if there's any corruption, it will come out. At the moment, I'm not very sure. Part of the reason why I'm not sure about the issue of corruption, Kolani, is that usually, in my understanding, I'm just giving my simple understanding, by the way, if you take people from life is demanding to NGOs in order to earn money corruptly, maybe by kickbacks, why then? Because one of the problems why patients died, why were the patients left with the NGOs, and the NGOs were not paid for 3 months? To an extent where they could not even buy food, they couldn't take care of those patients. If the reason was corruption, sure, to try and get money.
Okay, Health Minister, unfortunately, I'm out of time. Maybe then that's why we need this commission of inquiry to answer some of those questions, because also allegations are made about relationships between directors of some of these NGOs and people in the Department of Health, etc. Some of these NGOs were operating from public hospitals. Why would that be? So maybe that's why we need a bigger platform in which all of these questions then will be asked.